Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today's July 14th, 2018. We're going to be here live for the next 2 hours. We're very excited. Got a lot on the plate here. And I just want you to know, before I start my day and every day, I got my Hilltop Cefco Fresh Joe Coffee Premium Blend. Like, I'm always joking with you, Trey. It sounds like high-test gasoline. I mean, that's what it does to you, man. It just revs you up. It gets all eight cylinders burning. So make sure to get your cup of coffee there. They also got rollers, two for $2. They're cooking nice and hot on there, so get your smokes, your paper, your coffee, your drinks, whatever it takes to get your day going. Also, we're simulcasting, obviously, right here on KMIL 105.1 FM, The Ranch, and also out of Rockdale at KRXT 98.5 FM. The phone number here at the studio is 254-697-6633. Give us a call during the show with questions, comments, topics. You can also give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com or go directly to the website aaronsgunshop.com. As always, though, I'm going to prep you for what's coming up in today's show. We got show highlights. Let me list them to you now. True stories of self-defense from this month. This week, it's going to be the Concealed Carry magazine. Now, only today, instead of reading written commentary, because what I normally do is sit down, look at it, meditate upon it, think about the skills and the training, how you could apply it, what you can learn. I'm reading it raw today. I'm just going to see, maybe Trey, you and I will... we'll see what our first thoughts are when we hear these stories based on all the other stories that we've heard. Now, this week's LTC attorney segment, sponsored by Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, I'm going to have attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson with me. And we're going to be talking about making your own guns. This is getting more popular, and it's raising questions on accountability and all this kind of stuff. So we're going to discuss it. I've had some people give me some input as well, as to some topics or questions to ask. And also, if you're out there making builds, you know, like the 80% of the ghost guns, you probably got some questions. This would be a good topic for you to come on in. We won't have all the answers. We're kind of touching on it. If you got some input, that'd be great. Today at 10:55, about that, right, Trey, is going to be the delicious Janae Goodman with another segment of Tactical Snacking. This week, it's going to be on fats and oils. And as always, this will be very informative, so make sure you're listening to that. Then, at 11, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the connoisseur of common sense, the pontificator of practicality, the epitome of encyclopedia, and all-around good guy, Randy Dixon is the voice of law enforcement. Today's product spotlight, sponsored by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer, is going to be a replay of the ATI Omni 410 shotgun. That's the one that looks like the AR platform. I did this a few weeks ago. I've gotten a lot of comments on it, a lot of eyebrow raised, like, whoa, looks great. And so I thought I'd replay it. I'll give another a little bit of commentary before we do the replay. But once you hear it, you need to go call ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. Tell them you heard it here and you want one. I'm telling you, I've been using it. It's great. So we'll talk about that during that segment. My interview segment will be a very special guest today, and my board operator. That's Trey Wallace. Trey, thanks. Good to have you here. Like, you're here anyway. Trey's going to share his thoughts about his first time at the range and what his perception of it was.
More that it was the first, not just my first time at the range, it's the first time at the range with my son.
That's a great relationship building thing, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so we'll talk about that about 11:30 or so. And finally, Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, will be in to use me as practice target to show you how to defend yourself. And we all know you like to see me get whooped up.
You know, Matt really complains about that, but he's got a grin on his face every time. I think somebody's protesting too much.
Well, you can tell by looking at the videos, because we post those videos usually Tuesday or Wednesday of the next week. So you can check that out and see how she does it. Now, I'll tell you what, we're going to try and stay on schedule. I always try to get all this done. We move real fast and furious in the first 15 minutes. So we're going to give you now the true stories of self-defense. I'm going to read about four or five. Let's see what I got. One, two, three, four, five, oh, six. I got six stories. They're short ones. And I'm going to give commentary. If anything pops into your head there, Trey, give us a shout.
All right.
This is from the Concealed Carry magazine, May, June issue. If you got it, follow along. It's on page 22. First one goes, California homeowner shoots attempted home invader. When an Oroville man was confronted by a persistent stranger banging on his door and demanding entry, the homeowner called the police and took up a pistol in case he needed it. On going to the door again, the stranger tried to force his way in the home, at which point the resident shot him. Now, here's my immediate thought. We've been talking about this a lot, where if you're in your home and you're proficient with your weapon and there's somebody on the other side, there's really no reason to panic too much because you've trained yourself. You call the police and you're at the ready with your firearm.
That's the first thing that jumped out at me is he got the firearm just in case he needed it. He didn't go planning, I'm going to shoot this guy.
Exactly.
He's just, you know, if I need it, I have it. Because we all know it's better to have it and not need it than it is to need it and not have it.
Fantastic, man. Sounds like I said it. That's great. All right, second story. North Carolina grocer foils armed robbery with shotgun. A lone gunman threatened to kill a Winston-Salem grocer unless the grocer handed over all the money in the store. When the robber was distracted, the grocer drew a shotgun on the would-be bandit, driving him away empty-handed. No one was injured in the incident. Wow. On that one, my initial gut would be, it's great that no shots were fired.
It doesn't say no shots were fired. It just says he drove him off.
Well, it says when he was distracted, the grocer drew the shotgun on the would-be bandit. It doesn't say it. I'm just reading what the words say here, but it's a good thing that nothing happened, and it's just good. You know, I'll tell you what, when you're confronting a weapon like that and you still have the ability to keep your composure and grab the weapon, that's a good thing too.
So, oh, yeah.
I mean, that takes either onions or it takes good training.
or desperation.
That too, yeah. Story number three. Arizona coin store owner defeats armed robber. A Phoenix coin store owner was met shortly after opening one morning by a young man and a woman. When they entered the store, the man produced a pistol and demanded money. The store owner drew his gun and fired on the man, wounding him in the leg. The defending owner then held both persons at gunpoint until police arrived. Okay, once again, under threat, the owner pulls out the weapon. I do want to make one comment if we want to get technical. Shot him in the leg. That may be a little bit of lack of training. It could be an excessive trigger pull. It could be, depending on how the weapon was drawn, and shooting in an excitement a little bit too early. So a couple of those things. That's where the training comes in. Round robins are a great way to help on that.
You know, I want to point out that Arizona's getting to have almost the same kind of reputation Texas does as far as store owners who are armed and citizens who are armed. So anybody that's trying to commit a violent crime on a store owner in Arizona kind of gets what they deserve.
I know. It's getting that way all over the country. A lot more people getting guns. So you would think it'd be a nicer country because you never know who the next guy's going to have pulling out a gun. All right, here we are, home base here. Texas pizza parlor employee kills armed robber. I was going to say something, Bill. I'll hold it. An Amarillo pizza store employee was confronted by two men, one of whom was armed, brandished a gun, and demanded money. The employee, who was legally armed, feared for his life, drew his gun, and shot the armed robber, mortally wounding him. The robber's pistol turned out to be a BB gun. Interesting enough, we were talking about that at the shop. We've got these AR rifles, airsoft rifles, and pistols. They look very, very real.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're going to bring an airsoft gun to a gunfight, you're wrong. But the other thing was that I noticed here, we've had a lot of times where an employee will get suspended or fired because they have a firearm on the premise. It doesn't say anything about this, but I think there's a couple other pizza establishments that have suspended other people. So if that ever happened, you find out, boycott those people. All right, story number five. Illinois, and this is interesting because it's Illinois. Illinois' concealed carry permit holder stops armed robber. A young armed man approached a 58-year-old man in Chicago's Austin community and demanded the older man's property. Unfortunately for the robber, the victim was legally armed and used his pistol to shoot the assailant once in the chest, mortally wounding him and ending the incident. What do you say on that one, Trey?
I say I'm still waiting to hear the story from Chicago that one group of robbers is stopped by another group that was planning on robbing the place and then decides to stop. It's going to happen at some point.
What baffles me is Chicago, Illinois, is just like almost impossible to get yourself a concealed permit. But I see stories a lot. These guys must be affluent in their areas. Okay, here's another. Hey, last story. Another Illinois concealed carry permit holder stops armed robber. A Chicago man was robbed at gunpoint one Sunday evening. After handing over his money, the victim drew his legally carried pistol and shot the robber in the chest, mortally wounding him and ending the encounter. You know, attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson just walked in, and it's perfect timing because I have a question. I know the answer to the question. I was just wondering if you could spin this in the courtroom. Ross, you know how they say when the threat is over, it's over. You shouldn't like be shooting somebody. Well, the robber took the money, went away. So technically, the physical threat was over. Depending if it was day or night, let's say it was during the day. Do you think the person being robbed could have shot the person running away with his wallet?
Was there a reasonable likelihood that you would not be able to recover that property, or that in attempting to recover the property, that there would be serious bodily injury or death to the person attempting to recover the property?
I would think that would be probably so, yes.
So, yes, definitely you could probably launch a defense of property, affirmative defense in that kind of case. But again, we caution.
Is he picking up on the mic?
We caution, right, going after someone just for the purposes
and
of
that's
property.
That's why these segments that we do, people can refer back to them on YouTube channel. I'll talk about that in a little bit.
But yes, there is an affirmative defense if you cannot reasonably likely that you won't be able to retrieve the property, or if in doing so, somebody would have a risk of serious bodily injury or death.
Very good. You got a question, give us a call. Stand by, I'm going to do my opinion piece. Number 697-6633. And ladies and gentlemen, I just stated I do have an opinion. I always have an opinion. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not, but you can turn to another station or turn the volume down if you don't like it. This week's titled, Why Are We Unhappy? Or some of us, anyways. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you do this or not, but I talk to myself a lot. It kind of clears my head. But I think more importantly, when I hear myself, I think I can tell better if I'm whining or not. If something is bothering me, if I feel I've been dealt a raw deal, or something's not going my way, or something has got me emotionally down, I go somewhere to be alone and talk it out to myself. It's usually in the bathroom where I have access to a mirror. I highly recommend using the mirror technique. It works great. When looking in the mirror, my initial question to myself is, Matt, what's bothering you? 9 out of 10 times, I give an emotional response. My logical side fights with my emotional side. When the emotional side speaks its piece, the logical side counters it, chipping away at the emotion until I, or we, get to the root of the problem. My logical side speaks to my emotional side and asks things such as, are you getting upset because you have a misrepresentation or misperception of the reality of the situation at hand? Are you expecting too much from someone or something knowing they can't produce what you want? Are you putting in the necessary work to achieve your desired results? Are you doubting your abilities? Are you worried what people will think? When it's all said and done, I have found that the reason I thought was being the reason for being upset was really not the reason at all. This happens a lot, but not all the time. Sometimes my emotional side wins out. It's like a Kirk Spock kind of moment where logic should dictate, but that inner voice outwits logic and saves the day. So I ask you this, are you unhappy for some reason? Is something bothering you? Is something gnawing at you about someone? If there is, it may not be what you think. So I suggest you ladies pull out your compacts and you guys go to the restroom and have a chat with that person who's looking up right back at you in the mirror. That person may just have the right answer to your current problem. So with that, Trey, let's take a break. And when we come back on the other side, we'll have attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson with us. See you on the other side. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds. 254-697-6035.
Vicki Goza of Warwick Burns Lowell Funeral Home talks about the celebration of life.
Let's remember that loved one, their life, about the way they lived and what they embraced. Funerals are really about life. Our attitude is we need to remember this person by celebrating the life that they lived.
Call Mark Burns Label Funeral Home anytime. Serving Central Texas families since 1908. 254-697-3661.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MISO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Hookah chaka, hookah, hookah, hookah chaka, hookah, hookah, hookah.
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's alright.
Go, Ross.
It is.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Again, it's July 14th, 2018, and we're here live. I've got attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson with us, and we're going to be discussing...
In the house.
We're going to be discussing a little bit of this and a little bit of that when it comes to the making of firearms for personal use. Basically, is it legal? What are the rules? Making a firearm, can you resell it? 3D print, all sorts of stuff. So I don't know where this is going to go. We may be short on time in the sense of minimal amount of information. But if, ladies and gentlemen, I'm giving a plea and a call out there. If you are making firearms, and you know who you are, the ones that are buying the 80%ers, the ghost guns, and all, it's all okay, it's all legal. But we just want to get your input. If you know more information, have other stuff that you can add to this conversation. The number is 254-697-6633. Take a listen. If we're falling short on this, give us a call. Ross, what do you got, buddy?
Well, so, I mean, you had the question. Let's just start off with, you know, is it legal to make your own firearm? So, generally, the answer to that question is yes. A person can make their own firearm. You can have a homemade firearm for your personal usage. There's no problem with that. As long as you're not making something that's illegal to possess in the first place. So... if you're under a protective order or your state outlaws that kind of weapon, or you're underage to possess that kind of weapon, or you know you are a convicted felon and aren't allowed to possess firearms, period, making that firearm is going to be illegal. Okay, it's also going to be illegal to produce a firearm that is classified as typically illegal by the ATF the National Firearms Act, NFA, such as like a short barrel firearm, short barrel shotgun, short barrel rifle, explosive devices or destructive device, I think is what they call it. Any other weapon that would qualify under that ALW definition, which is kind of outside the scope of today's topic. But
I want to make a side note about you guys. We've been doing this for quite a while, and I come up with these topics. I mean, they're all over the board. And you guys have such a wide diversification of knowledge. You may not have the answer to everything, but you've touched on everything, and you go seek it out. And it's like you never come here without an answer.
Yeah, well, I mean, anybody, I think there's a plethora of information, and sometimes there's a problem with that. There's way too much information for a lot of just regular citizens to decipher, which is why we talked about there's way too many laws, over-codification, over-regulation, proliferation of regulations. And so sometimes it's too much for people to digest. I think that that's why people like you that specialize in this field, though, people that are familiar with firearms, I think would be able to go on the ATF website and get a good idea, though, about what is and what is not legal. Now, obviously the ATF is going to overstate their case in some instances. I feel like they're pretty honest, though, in some of their statements when they say straight up, we can't regulate this. Right? But in other times, I think they're being cautious when they say, you know, this is illegal, or when they say probably, you better go and follow up and just see exactly what the specifics are in that situation when you do go on the ATF website. But you can go on there. I think so. The things that really prompted this question were some recent activities that are going on with 3D printers. And I was surprised because I haven't actually been on the ATF website in a while. And so when I got this question, remember last time, I think we did this segment on transferring weapons, one or two segments last year. And I went on, we did a segment on any other weapons or right. all other weapons, yeah. ALWs, and we showed some pretty neat stuff that were on the ATF website, like the cigarette gun, yeah, cigarette, no, just thinking about and the lighter that. Gun and those things. And they didn't have the 3D printer segment up when I was there last time. And so this must be a big thing. It's it must be kind of blowing up as far as what people are doing, because now they have a whole segment.
I'm not very good at this. I'm not knowledgeable enough, but I hear things. On this particular topic, I hear things. I heard like they couldn't send software to teach you how to print 3D guns or something like that. That's why I'm asking the audience, if you're familiar with this, please give us a call, 254-697-6633. So it's not only just the making it, but selling of the software to make it. I don't know.
Interesting. Well, I would not think that the software to for knowledge about how to make a weapon,
I know, because that would be like brass knuckles
unlawful.
As a paperwork.
Again, I didn't even look at that, but I just off the top of my head, and I'm not giving a guarantee on this, but I wouldn't think that software about how to make your own weapon would be unlawful. It would be just a DIY.
Like I said, I'm ignorant to this.
Do it yourself. I would think there may be some like copyright infringements, or maybe some trade secret violations or something to that effect, but as just far as singing out with the ATF regulated, I wouldn't think that they would. However, I will say this, you know, 3D printers, you cannot print anything that would be able to avoid basically a metal detector, or would be able to avoid detection as a weapon. That's going to be unlawful under the United States Code. 18 U.S.C. 922P is going to tell you that you cannot even possess or manufacture a weapon that's going to be undetectable by any kind of metal device, or not detectable as the security exemplar by a walk-through metal detector calibrated or operated by the security exemplar. So there's more to that definition.
Only the government can do that, right?
Or wouldn't be inspected, you wouldn't be able to find on inspection of an X-ray machine. So you're not going to be able to produce that with a 3D. But as far as like just a metal or any other kind of weapon to be used, you're going to be able to produce it on your own, make that on your own. So, but are you going to be able to sell that weapon? I'm just going to give a brief overview of the again requirements for transferring a firearm. You're going to have state regulation, you're going to have regulations by the United States Code, and then you're going to have further regulations by the NFA and the ATF, okay? And so you've got to realize you can't be under a protective order, just like what we said. You can't be a felon. you can't give a handgun or any kind of weapon to a person you think probably about to go commit a crime. It's going to be probably unlawful if it's a handgun, period. And then it's, you may be an accessory or something if you know they're going to commit a crime. If it's a minor, we talked about transfer as a minor. I would say anytime you're going to transfer right to a minor, you just need to make sure that you have some kind of written consent by the parent. I would also make sure that you have on there that it's going to be done for some other purpose than just a basic transfer, like going hunting or something, just to CYA. Okay.
Can you actually transfer it to the child with a parent consent? I thought it had to be like ownership of the parent, and then the child can use it under supervision.
Well, that, remember we spoke about if a child's going to be using a weapon, it wouldn't be readily dischargeable just transferring the firearm, period, to the child. I would think you could transfer the firearm to the child. It would just you would just make sure you have the parent's consent in writing, okay? And also know that there's problems too with a child making a contract. They're not the age of majority. Right. We're talking under the age of 17. Do they have the capacity to enter a contract? You have all those issues. But I would still think that you could make a gift of the firearm to the child. Just make sure you get it in writing from the parent. You cannot sell, though, just firearms in general for the purpose of being engaged in the business of selling firearms. Okay? And so if you have made your homemade weapon and you intended that weapon to be for personal use, and then you said, well, I don't really like this one, but my nephew likes it, I'm going to go ahead and sell it to him, and then I'll make myself another one, I think that's okay. I think that's okay. Arguably, you're going to have to get maybe a serial number or some kind of marking through the ATF. I actually wanted to go look that aspect up.
I've got a note here from somebody who's been studying up on this, and they made a couple of comments to that point, and it was basically, I'm scanning through it here right now. It's good to
have an identifier on your firearm. Period.
Yes, but it goes back to, though, if you they're saying you have to register it or the serial number, and if you don't do that, it's still an unmarked gun going from one person to the other. That's what we were trying to figure out, and so. Once again, everybody, if you're building what they call these ghost guns or 80% guns, and you've been doing some studying on it and research on it, this is a great format right now to talk about it. So give us a call, 254-697-6633. But he's saying, most are not aware of that, blah, 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 blah. There's nothing illegal about your gun as long as you can identify it's yours. And what he was also telling me was, like, when you're building the firearm, let's just talk about one of these ghost guns for Glocks. If you get all the information that you bought a barrel here and you bought the trigger mechanism here and you got the 80% lower.
We're going to get to that, though. I really am going to get to that. I want to stick with what, because if we have the foundational knowledge that we know what we can do and what we can't do, I think it makes it easier to understand selling parts. And because the parts have a specific regulation. And so can you, I think you've got no problem selling a firearm, transferring a firearm, and I don't think it's going to be regulated by the feds. There may be some specific little regs here and there, but
you're specifically talking the ghost gun, though.
Well, a ghost gun, which is what it is, well, that's 80%.
80% doesn't have,
if that qualifies as a weapon in itself, a ghost gun, 80%.
No, it does not. But once you turn it into it, then they say it's for your personal use.
So a weapon is defined as a receiver mechanism, and which is usually threaded as it forges a portion to receive the barrel. Does that mean that it's actually connected to the situation? You may have to go through, right, a federal firearms licensee. Okay, but if you're, I mean, how are they going to know if you're transferring in state? It's your own personal handgun. I mean, there's no.
Why does an officer not know that Penal Code 46035 isn't anything to worry about unless there's a signpost? They still arrest you sometimes. You got arrested and everybody knew. And now you know you can carry a rifle in a non-threatening manner without a problem. This is what I'm getting at here. Everybody's got their own little opinion based on this. I'm trying to see if we can't find, this is how it works. This is the rules. These are the boundaries. But right now, we're like all over the place.
Here's what I would say. If you could say it's my own personal handgun, you made it, you're not going to get in trouble. There's no reason for you to get in trouble. You can say that you inherited the weapon, okay, through a intestate succession, or my dad's my grandpa's gun. Okay, nothing they can do in that situation.
What if you found it? Can you say that? A lot of people say that when they shoot somebody. I just found it and went off accidentally.
I would stray away. Told him definitely come by your shop, right, to talk to you about the bill of sale and the requirements. You want to make sure you
system your blood, your paper trail, is to give it to people like me. FFL, because once you give it to me and I log it in my book, it's my gun now. Okay, you just got
I would say that that's worth every bit of $25. It's some insurance that right. Is priceless in case that person today, if that person goes and uses that firearm, if you think somebody's not in a way that, you know, some people have made this country look awful.
Everybody, the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program, July 14th, 2018. Real quick, I want to give a few dates. Last night, we had our last round robin. It was awesome. Let me tell you why. We have another homegrown individual who's come to the range, has learned the techniques, and won. Terry Walker, he's been coming lately and did it a few times. It was a little rough around the edges, and last night, he put his game together, and he won it. So we got another homegrown pistol competition winner. And you, too, can be one of those. Just come on out. After a few, three or four round robins, you should be able to be up there in the contender spot. It doesn't take much. You might walk away with a nice prize. So it's going to be every second Friday of the month is the round robin competition. The first Friday of the month, though, is, two for night. Bring somebody with you. It's half price, basically. Third Fridays of the month, ladies, if you respond as a lady, you get to shoot for free. Range time is free, okay? Now, on July 28th, Saturday this month, July 28th, Saturday at 2 o'clock is going to be my next license to carry class. You want to take that call? Is that for us? Okay. The license to carry class. It's $60 for a new person. If you want to go to the class to refresh yourself, it's $40, and we can square your way there. Seminars. I've been having a lot of people asking me about self-defense, home invasion seminars. If you're interested in that, give me a call. I'll get a group of 5, 10, or 15 people together, and we'll have another seminar, and it goes over a whole bunch of things. So I want you to go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the High Cap Adventure page, and you can see all the different types of seminars, but primarily the one in the blue top left-hand corner. It's the co-ed home defense and our self-defense home invasion seminar. It's a lot of fun. $165 for the course. It's an all-day course. You get a barbecue lunch. If you were to go to Pahrump, Nevada and go to Front Sight, you'd be paying $3,000. Okay? It's the same freaking thing. All right, Trey, let's get that delicious Janae Goodman on the air, tactical snacking segment, and we're going to be talking fats and oils. Take it away.
Hi, my lovelies. Today, I'm going to tell you all about fats and oils and what it's important to acquire about. I'm Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. Let's start with the difference between fats and oils. Generally speaking, oils are liquid at room temperature, while fats are solid. This is caused by the amount of saturated or unsaturated fatty acids present in them. Unsaturated oils are preferable for a healthy diet. But depending on their application, saturated fats prove to be useful, and they often lend their flavor and texture to our foods. Typically, unsaturated oils are sourced from plants, while fats are sourced from animal protein. Of course, both of these categories have mild exceptions, seeing that we can extract oil from fish and create hydrogenated fat, better known as Crisco, from plant material. To prevent high cholesterol, you should source unsaturated oils as often as possible. This includes olive, avocado, and coconut oils, which are heart-healthy choices. But no surprise that saturated fats get a bad rap. That doesn't mean everything about them is bad for you, but I'll get into that in a moment. Just remember, all things in moderation. The type of oil you use typically depends on the content and the application you have planned. This is where the smoke point of an oil comes into play. This is the temperature that an oil begins to smoke. Oils that can withstand a higher heat will have a higher smoke point. If an oil or fat is taken past its smoke point, it can be harmful to your body and negatively affects your food's flavor. Those healthier oils I mentioned can have a moderate smoke point, but they're much too expensive if you plan on using a large amount of them, say for frying. So what do? If you're looking for a lower cost option, blend oils are a great alternative. Clarifying butter is a technique that allows you to remove the milk solids from your butter. This increases the butter's shelf life and allows it to be used at a higher temperature without the worrying of browning, which can lead to bitter or burned taste foods. I've seen this product sold for far too much in the grocery store, so I'll be happy to tell you how to make your own at home. Take your solid butter and heat it over medium heat until thoroughly melted. Remove your butter from the heat and let it rest for about 2 minutes. This allows the white milk solids to sink to the bottom. You can then pour the yellow portion of your butter into a sealable container and store it in your fridge or your freezer. You may not realize this, but lard has more benefits than butter. It contains 20% less saturated fat, making it a friendlier alternative for heart health. It also has vitamin D content and is relatively inexpensive. Lard is what's rendered from pig's fat, and depending on how the pig was raised, it can have more omega-3 content than an equal dose of cod oil. There are three areas you can get this pig fat from: the back fat, the belly, or known as the bacon, and from around the kidneys. That kidney fat is referred to as leaf lard. Leaf lard is what you want to focus on if you want a traditional, colorless, and tasteless lard. To achieve that pure product, the leaf lard must be rendered slowly. 1 pound of leaf lard fat will render about 12 ounces of lard. To make your own, cut the fat into 1-inch cubes and freeze partially. It's best to grind the chunks to reduce your overall rendering time and to extract more lard in the end. Once your fat has been processed, put it into a wide-bottom pan along with about half a cup of water. This water will aid in melting the fat instead of browning it. Let your leaf lard melt over medium-low heat, stirring about every 10 to 15 minutes to make sure that it's heating evenly. The melting process here is what we refer to as rendering. It will take some time, up to about 5 hours to complete it. But I beg you to be patient if you wish to achieve that traditional neutral lard. Because it lacks preservatives, homemade lard is not shelf-stable and it must be kept cool. Keep it in your fridge for up to a month. If you don't plan on using your lard soon, you can keep it in the freezer for up to a year. Unfortunately, there's no way to make oils and fats last forever. You may, however, ward off the rancidity by storing your products in a cool, dark place. Exposure to oxygen, light, and heat will speed up the rancidification, so avoid keeping them near heat sources and seal them properly. The easiest way to check your oils and fats for rancidity is to smell them. If it gives off a sour or unsettling smell, chances are it's time to throw it out. I hope you learned a tubful today, because I sure enjoy sharing it with you. As always, be sure to drop me a line at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com for all your culinary and garden needs and show suggestions. If you're craving more, join me next week. But in
Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com. Now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Hey, everybody. Hope you're having a great Saturday morning. It's a nice, warm Saturday out, and just think, another great week starting. The good news is we've had a little bit of rain this past week. The bad news is, if you look at the weather forecast for the next sweet days of 104, 105 with heat temps up to 110. So you know what that means? That means you got to take care of yourself. You got to take care of those around you. And you got to take care of the older folks in our community. Check on them once in a while. I think that's the right thing to do as a good, honest citizen, a good community citizen. But check on the people. We're going to talk about something today that I found. There's an article that was written by Michelle Crouch. She is a journalist from the Midwest, and she surveyed a number of police departments and a number of police officers about things about what makes police officers tick, what they think about, how they think about things. Well, she came up with a dossier, if you would, of a 45 things that police officers want you to know. Now, folks, I'm not going to cover all 45 of those things, because we'd be here until next week if I did that. But when she spoke to police officers around the country, she wanted to see what it was like to walk or drive a police beat. And she said that their answers offer a glimpse into the great highs and debilitating lows that police officers experience. You know, Nicole, I thought to myself, man, that is a police officer's career right there. That's what they think. And some of these things that we talk about, and I'm going to tell you right now, some of them, and I'll be the first to admit that, and some of them are agree with, and I'll know that. And there'll be some of them that almost nobody agrees with. So, folks, when we look at these, have it open that, and think about putting yourself in the shoes of that police officer. You know, there's what's the old saying, Andy, and you know, never criticize a person unless you walk a mile in their shoe. Well, sometimes it's hard to walk a mile in their shoe or their moccasin. So first off, the first one is number one, you know, and that was one of the things in my 17 years as police chief, believed that it was my job not only to run a police department, but also to help the community understand that the police are there to help them. If you can't or sheriff, you don't need word about it's not just about being sitting on the ivory, as we used to say, the ivory tower and looking around. Number two, the police do appreciate being appreciated, folks. I'll be honest with you. Think about the times about your own marriages and about your own situation. If you never told your spouse or your loved one that you cared about them, they'd never know. Officers tell people are stopping them daily nowadays, thanking them for the job they're doing. And, you know, ever since we've had all the controversy of shootings and all the negative protests, Dallas, a year or so ago, 2 years ago, of the police officers, there are a lot of people that are out there that are seeing police officers in a different right. So reasonable, and I'm using that word with very loosely, reasonable people under extreme scrutiny right now. You know, they're coming up and thanking them for the job they're doing. And please, if you see a police officer, and if you think they're doing a good job or you think your community is being policed right, tell them. The only time as a police chief that I ever normally heard from people was when they were mad at a police officer or mad at the police department. When they do something good, let them know. The next one, the world has made us cynical. And, folks, unfortunately, that is very, very true. The best part of the job, to be honest with you, is waving to a kid and getting a wave in return and not the middle finger. We were much more idealistic 15 or 20 years ago, to be honest with you. We're going to change the world. Unfortunately, the world changed us in many chances, in many cases. You know, one of the stock answers when you sit on an interview board for police officers, why do you want to be a police officer? That's one of the first questions they always ask. And I'm telling you, invariably, the thing is, I want to help my community. Well, helping community means also being a part. So, you know, when you think that the world has changed, it has changed. But as a police officer, you have to change with it. Next, we know people are afraid, and that does bother police officers. That bothers police officers tremendously. You know, and this officer who they interviewed said this. I pulled a female over the other day and took her a block or two with my lights going and eventually my siren going for finally. When she finally did stop, I asked her, why did you take so long to stop? And then her reply was to this officer, because she didn't know what I was going to do to her. And that officer thought, wow, we're the bad guys now. You know, and I know there are some bad police officers out there. There's also bad lawyers. There's bad doctors. There's bad flight attendants. There's bad airplane pilots. Less than 1/10 of 1% of the police officers in this country have tarnished the badge. You don't throw the entire barrel out for one rotten apple. Police officers get shocking numbers of threats. And unfortunately, that happens in every city, small, big, large, or medium. The police officers today live in a society that has become more hostile toward the government and the officials. Police officers receive many more threats than they used to in the old days. I can't tell you how many times I was told, I'll get even with you or I'll find out where you live. And there's been times when that has bothered me. But folks, we do our job. We go on with doing our job. And the one that bothers me the most is this next one. Race impacts how people see it. You know, I'll be honest with you, and I think I discussed this last week a little bit. When a police officer does his job, 99.9% of the good police officers, they don't care what color you are. They have no desire to do anything but do the law correctly. People that use that excuse because I'm a this color, I'm a that color, that's what is a cop-out. Police officers get nervous, too. And officers have anxiety when they feel that something is not going right. They feel it. You feel it. Police officers are just like human beings. They are human beings. I guess that makes better. They also have intuition, knowledge. They also have that little hair raising on the back of your neck, just like everybody else does. So they do get nervous, and they do sometimes over-precaution. You know, there was a video out, home video, where a San Antonio deputy, I believe it was, or maybe a police officer, had pulled a gun out on another. Whatever reason he did that, I can't believe that he would be in so fear of his life from a bunch of 8-9-year-olds. But whatever reason he did that, we need to wait to see what the verdict is. He would be condoned for doing that, but let's wait and see what the outcome comes before we start criticizing the entire person or the department. The one that scares me the most is this next one. The police officers across the country have said weapons have become a major concern. Now, I purport and I believe that everybody should carry a weapon. That's what this show is all about. But, you know, if you're going to carry a weapon, you need to carry the weapon in a non-threatening manner. Especially if it's a situation where it's going to be a hostile situation between the police and the citizen. If you have a weapon, you need to let the officer know that you have a weapon. And here's the one that bothers me the most. When I was growing up, I thought to myself, you know, everybody wants to be a police officer or a firefighter. You don't hear many people saying, I want to be a butcher or I want to be a pest control agent, which should have nothing wrong with them. They're great. Can't live without those folks. But when I was growing up, I wanted to be a fireman or I wanted to be a cowboy. Well, number one, the horse couldn't hold me, which would probably be a bad thing for the horse. But number two, firefighters, my son is one, they can have that. I like to think I've gone in some pretty serious and dangerous situations in my lifetime. But I'm telling you what, those firefighters, when they go do their job, they got, you know, what's their beard in Dallas. But number one, people want to become police officers in today's world. Why does that happen? Why do fewer people want to become police officers? Why? Right now. Because police officers are under a scourge. They're under fire. They can seem to be, or no right, rather, and everybody thinks they're wrong. When you're going to find a job or trying to find a job, you definitely want to be somewhere when you're wanted. And we need to show our police officers and the younger people that are going to be taking the place of our police officers that they are wanted. Sometimes police officers act out of self-video right away, had a super impact on the community. But what stood out to me in Tulsa's department's strong engagement with the church and community leaders, talked to them, they explained it. It looked like there was no even example of cover-up. So, folks, there's a lot I want you to know, and I'm going to go over some of them next week or week after. But the main thing is just do what the police officer says. If it's not, if you don't feel comfortable with doing it, if you don't feel right with doing it, there is an avenue, a way that it can be challenged. So, folks, that's my commentary for today. I hope you all have a great week. It's going to stay hot, be hot. Please take care of yourselves, and please take care of your family out there in this heat. Drive safely, be safe, and I'll see you on the radio next Saturday.
Law firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MISO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Not everyone believes in the same way or has the same customs and cultures as everyone else.
Vicki Goza of Marek Burns Lidwell Funeral Home in Cameron talks about individual needs.
We can make everything very personalized. It's not a package A, a package B, or a package C. It's totally about the family and what their needs are.
Marek Burns Lidwell Funeral Home in Cameron, serving Central Texas families since 1908.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's July 14th, 2018, and we're here live for about another 34 minutes. We're on our product spotlight segment sponsored by ANC Firearms. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do not know Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, you need to get to know him. He's a great guy. He's got a great staff, awesome-looking store there. It used to be an old bank. The vault is in the back of the building there, or in the back of the showroom. And you got the bricks up the wall. The plaster's partially off for that nice, cool, old effect look. The floors squeak, the oak wood floors. He's got pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, accessories, the whole works. They got Dennis, Mike, Clint there to help you out. The number's 254-983-4417. Now look, here's what I'm doing. A few weeks ago, up to a month ago, I can't remember exactly what the date was, I did a product spotlight on the ATI, American Tactical, Omni 410 shotgun that looks like an AR rifle, AR-15 rifle. That's why I was impressed with it. Took me a little while to get this because I like to just go through certain people to get guns, and sometimes when you just do that, it takes a little bit longer to get it. But when I got it, I was really impressed with how it looked and how it felt. And I've been using it constantly. It shoots great, functions great, and I had a lot of people asking me questions on it. And when they see it, they're like, oh, wow, I didn't know they did that. They thought it just was a rifle. So what we're going to do is I've got a replay of a small or partial interview, or not interview, but a comments about the gun. And what we're going to do, Trey, we're going to play, it's about 3 minutes, 40 seconds. It's just a replay of what I did a few weeks ago and give you a basic idea of my impressions of this gun. So why don't we take it, Trey, when we come back, we'll take a break. And then on the other side, we'll be doing the interview segment. More than that, I mean, it's really a fun gun. Now, I'm looking at it again here. Ladies and gentlemen, when I first got it, my first impression was, that looks like a rifle. It doesn't look like a shotgun, which was really cool. My second impression was, wow, I picked it up, it's pretty light. I was thinking it's going to be a little bit heavier, but this thing's, it's light, obviously because you got your polymer receiver. And the key mod, I want to make a comment on the key mod free float rail. It's not 100% full key mod. It probably goes halfway down. The rest of it's blocked in, but it's adequate for what you need to do. I've put on some, I had a pair of Ruger flip-up sights. I put those on there. I also have a quick detach flashlight that I can put on it. But I was using different types of ammo with this, and it was just a hoot to shoot. It really was. The spread's good. I was shooting at 25 yards, hitting soda cans without a problem, dancing them all over the yard. And the recoil was minimal. Also, I put on a rubber butt pad. It comes with the plastic, obviously, the collapsible stock. And the collapsible stock's got the sharp edge on it. Or not the really sharp edge, but it's more of a crisp edge on the back of the butt stock. So I just put a rubber butt pad that fits on it and takes any potential of it bothering you out of the equation. So it's really a lot of fun. All the bells and whistles, the buttons are the same as a regular AR. So when you go to pick it up, it's almost like just having one gun for every purpose. You pick it up, the safety's in the same spot, the charging handle's in the same spot, forward assist in the same spot, and here's the other thing too. When you break this down, I don't know about you, but if you got shotguns, you know what it takes, like a Mossberg, a Remington, Ithaca, whatever. When it comes time to cleaning that thing, you gotta unscrew some screws, take things apart. You got parts laying around if you really want to get it clean. Well, this basically, let me see if I can do it real quick here. I'm going to punch out the back pin. And we're going to separate it. And there you have your bolt coming out. You got your charging handle coming out. And if we look at it, it's the same as a basic AR. You just clean it real simple and easy. Take your bolt apart, clean it up, oil it up, and you're good to go. So it's really simple to use. I love it. ANC Firearms can get yours. Give them a call at 254-983-4417. Tell them, listen, I just heard Matt speaking about this on the radio. I want to order one. And you just tell them, hey, do what it takes. I got to have one. About the magazines, I ordered extra five rounders, and I'll tell you why. I've had a rifle before. I had a Sega shotgun, and it had the extended 10-round magazines, and it comes down pretty far. It almost starts to wobble on you. The weight of it hanging way below the weapon has a tendency to move a little bit, and also when you want to do quick maneuvering, it gets in the way. So I decided, hey, I'm going to stick with the five-rounders. If they came up with a 10-round magazine, for sure I would get it because it would be right about the length of a 30-round 5.56 mag. So we're used to that maneuvering. So I got the extra five-round mags. And with a shotgun, man, if you can't get it done, five shots, it's a challenger. But check it out. The ATI 410 shotgun, the Omni hybrid lower receiver, makes it light. The whole gun is light altogether. And it also comes with a sling adapter at the rear of the receiver, which is pretty nice too. So anyway, ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. Tell them you heard it on the radio. Tell them, hey, order me that 410 shotgun. So, Trey, let's take a break.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Ball Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Bowlers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Ball Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. 4417.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com. Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio Program. It's July 14th, 2018. If you want to become part of the show or got a comment, a nice one, and or a question, give us a call here, 254-697-6633, or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Don't forget, July 28th, Saturday, 2 p.m., I've got a license to carry class, $60 for a new person, $40 if you want to just get a refresher, a sense of memory refresher. You won't be tested or having to qualify, but you can shoot. And that'll be Saturday, the 28th. Give me a call or an email, and we can set you up for that, okay? Now, I've got my special guest here who happens to be my board operator as well. That's Trey Wallace.
I don't think I qualify as a special guest anymore, dude.
You're always a special guest, man. When you're on the air, you're always a special guest. When you're talking to me between 11:30 and 11:50, you're a special guest, okay? Trey, we got you on here because last night is the first time you've been to the range.
Yep. And I'd actually been to the store once before, but I'd never actually gone to the range.
Okay, but it's more important that you're doing it with your son. So let's talk about it. Just give us your impression. Let's go through it and see what you thought.
Well, first, a little background. My boy is 12. He'll be 13 next month, okay? So, and all that that entails with a teenage boy. Sometimes we don't always hang out or get to spend time because he's all like, oh my God, Dad, really? But every once in a while, we'll find something that we both can kind of enjoy and actually spend time. You know, he's got a little sister and he's always wanting to hang out with his friends or his granddad or whatnot. So, you know, the times when we get together aren't common and, you know, I really enjoy them. And one of these times happened to be going to the gun store, the range. And, you know, we showed up a little bit before 8 when your round robin was just winding down. So, you know, there's lots of people just sitting in the little sitting room. I don't know what you call that, your lobby or whatnot.
You can call it whatever you want. That's where people sit. Yeah.
But, you know, I know a lot of them because I'm from the area, but there were a lot of people I didn't recognize. But all of them were friendly. A lot of times you walk into a new place that's kind of got that club.
Cliquish type of thing, yeah.
Exactly. That's a good way of putting it. Cliquish feel. And, you know, they're not very welcoming, but, you know, most of the people there were just really, you know, hi, how you doing, waving, smiling, that sort of thing. And that was fantastic. Of course, you weren't there in that part because I guess you were dealing with the shooters for the closing of the round robin. But, you know, you came out, you saw me, you made sure everything was cool, and you said, I'll be right with you, whatever. So, yeah, I mean, the first impression, of course, is that it's a fairly friendly place.
Yeah, there's a lot of people there that are so willing to give to each other. We had a Butch Downey on last week, and he's one of the shooters, and you saw him.
I did.
And he basically came on saying that, you know, it was his first, he's not really good with a handgun, and he came here and he wanted to get his license, and the same concept. All these people are so friendly, willing to share, help, knowledge, equipment, the whole work. So it's really a nice place. Another friend of mine, Mike, he would always contrast places as one's a clinical type of place. You know, you're walking around, you got lab coats on or something, as compared to a friendly.
There was nothing clinical about your gun range. It's very. I want to say rural, you know, because you get that whole air. You know, everybody knows everybody, or everybody, mm-hmm. even if they don't know you, they act like they know you. They're willing to know you, which is really kind of a nice feel.
Look, I own the range, and I go into different ranges, and I feel constrained. I feel like I'm a number.
Oh no, I get that. You're a customer.
I'm a customer.
You're not a. I have this whole thing where there's a difference between a customer and a client. A customer is someone that's there to give you money and get your product. A client is someone that you take care of. You know, you don't just want their business right then. You want them to give you their business next time. You want them to want to bring their family, to recommend you to their friends and the people that they think are important, mm-hmm. so that you can continue to build that sort of client base. It's called build your client base, not your customer base.
I can pick almost anybody there and say, hey, you're in charge while I'm in the range, and put them behind the counter and not bat an eyelash. Because there's that camaraderie, that teamwork, that friendship, the
trust.
The trust you build up. It's just it's a friendly environment. I mean, when I built the place, I built it in a manner that it was all under one roof. You'd have the retail shop, which I don't do much, very much of anymore. I kind of trimmed it down to about 5% retail.
I was gonna say, it looks less like a retail and more like a display.
Yeah, that's what I changed it to. I changed from, actually, I do product selling online. But when it comes to the actual location there, at brick and mortar establishments, it's difficult. You got to be in a larger populated area. So what I decided to do is go 95% training facility. So yep. I don't have all the products for people to buy. But anyway, you go in there, you get to look around, enjoy it, and have a lot of fun. And the shooting range, we're going to talk about the shooting range in a minute, but I designed that because I'm a self-defense type of instructor. And I had a person there making a comment about it as well, that it's darker than many of the other shooting ranges that they've gone to. And I said I did that on purpose. I made it that dingy brownish looking color because when you're out on the street and it's at dusk and your light level for your sights isn't that great. Well, I've got a great opportunity at this range to simulate that.
Or, you know, you're at the house and it's late at night and you've been asleep and you wake up. Mm-hmm. I mean, your light, it's not daylight. You don't have bright light everywhere.
Right.
So,
and the other thing too, I've got adjustable lights there. So anyway, you're there with your son, and why don't you tell us about that, how it worked out, the way the facility's set up and how the booths are a little bit larger and how you can, you know, do things with your son there.
And I think people who've been listening to the show for a while have heard I'm not exactly a tiny person. And my boy, he's not a small fella either. But the booths were, he was able to shoot. I was able to stand there with him and watch him. And, you know, of course, one of the things his grandfather and I have both tried to instill in him is gun safety and the routine, the protocol, and trying to do it the same way every time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you ever tried to get a 12 or 13-year-old to listen to you, but that could be a challenge on in and of itself. But he did a real good job. Matt, his instructions were very plain, very simple. Police your own brass, obviously. Make sure your muzzle's always pointed down range. Stay within your cubicle. Don't go to someone else's slot. Just, you know, common sense type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the pulley set up fairly simple. If you're shorter, there will be a bit of a problem. But and I want to real comment on that. There was a fella in the slot next to us that was shorter, and he couldn't necessarily reach real well. And I'm going to name drop here because he was there with his buddy, Squirrel. Squirrel's not exactly a tall fella, but I'm going to talk about Squirrel again later. But they were having a hard time, you know, getting the target set up and whatnot. And, of course, Butch, I don't know if any of you, of course, most people know Butch. He's not a short fella, but he didn't even hesitate to help. They said, hey, man, we're having a hard time reaching, you know.
Because that Squirrel's been there a few times, but it's been separated from time. Underneath each booth are steps.
Oh.
And so if you're not familiar with it, that's what they're used for. So if somebody's got a little shorter and can't reach it, we have the step platforms to get you up there.
What jumped out at me, though, was the willingness for other people to help each other.
That's
just,
right.
You know, hey, yeah, it's this whole feel of, hey, we're all out here together. You know, yeah, I don't mind helping, sure. May not know him from Adam, but he was willing to help, and that was really great. On that note, I had a bit of a mishap, not on the range itself, but as we were leaving, my battery died, like, completely. And I came inside to let Matt know. Of course, Squirrel had been talking to Matt. He's like, you know what? This is a Squirrel. He's like, I'll help you. No problem. Okay. And he seriously, it didn't bother him at all. He just jumped out, moved his truck, come up, jumped me off. Real easy. And that's the sort of easy, like Matt used the word camaraderie, the easy camaraderie there was there. You know, my first time there shooting, and nobody really recognized me but Matt and Butch. So even though they didn't recognize me, they sure
but you know,
didn't hesitate.
You know, you can go to other gun ranges and you can have people of that caliber. The thing that we're making a difference of is the establishment allowing for that atmosphere to develop in a customer oriented facility.
And it really wasn't just, you know, one person or two people there that were like that. I got the impression it was everybody there was like that.
Everybody's like that. That's right.
So it's less an exception and more a rule.
That's right. It's pretty cool, actually.
Oh, yeah.
You get to shoot everybody else's gun. You say, hey, man, that looks pretty cool. Can I try that? They go, sure, go ahead. Here's some ammo. I said, no, you know, I don't want to burn your ammo. No, it's okay. Go ahead. You know, you don't want to take advantage of that. You always want to be respectful of that. But they'll for sure let you shoot their guns as long as you keep feeding them. Because sometimes they get hungry. You got to feed them. Now, the couple guys, Squirrel and Don, when they came in, it's pretty much like you. If you had done the round robin, you would have been novice too. And but they, you've heard about the round robin. They've heard about the round robin, but they actually participated in the round robin. And they go, wow, I keep hearing about it, but now that I've done it, wow. It's like, I see how there's challenges there if you're not familiar with handling different guns. Because these guys are good shots. However, the shots were a little bit where they shouldn't have been for the first time because they weren't accustomed to a trigger that was different than theirs, or a gun that had a higher profile than theirs, or it's a little bit fatter than theirs, and they didn't know the little tricks of the trade of the common thread. So all these little things you get to learn on that particular competition, and you should do it, Trey.
Actually, my boy's making a noise like he wants to try it.
And that's great, because we got a couple young ladies there too, Russell's granddaughters, and they're doing a great job. I mean, two petite little girls, and here they are, they're handling these big firearms, and they're putting it on the paper and doing a darn good job, and within time. And sometimes they'll have a malfunction, they clear the malfunction sometimes. And it's a lot of good training. Once again, that's homegrown people coming to the range, being taught by each and everybody else with the same concept. And I want to make a comment about the teaching element. There's many different methods to teach something. Because I'm about to do a video on mag changes, changing mags. And you can look on YouTube and you're going to see a whole bunch of different videos on how to do it and different people's perspective on it. But you've got to find the common thread. If you can find the common thread, and here's my objective. My objective when it comes to training, is it duplicatable? Can I teach you to the point where you can teach somebody else? Or am I showboating it and saying, see this, I'm changing my mag, but I do it in such a manner that showboating, it gets the job
done. Yeah,
that's
not teaching.
Yeah, it's showing off.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I got no problems with it at all for you. But in a situation where you got to learn and get the basic elements and find the common thread, that's what we try to do. And it's good to see that all these people coming through Aaron's gun shop there and doing the competitions and all that are becoming more and more familiar with the common threads of guns, and they can pick up almost any handgun like it's their own. So it's pretty good. What kind of shooting did you do?
Well, we brought the a little .22 revolver and a .22 semi-auto, and I let him burn through about 50 rounds total between the two, just shooting. Of course, being a 12-year-old, he tried to make it as easy as possible and set it out like 5 yards. And I let him go ahead and do it because, you know, part of it was just be there and spend time together. And, of course, while I was doing it, I'm observing what he's doing. But after that, I slowed him down a bit. We policed our brass, and then I had him load just 10 rounds into the semi-auto and pushed the target out about to about 15 yards, which, by the way, Matt's real good about marking off the distances and letting you know, okay, this is your marker for 5 yards, this is your marker for 10 yards, this is your marker for 15, this is your marker for 25. And I set him up and let him burn through another 40 rounds. And as he went through, of course, his groupings got better. And by the end of it, he was, by his last set of 10 rounds, he was within all the same circle where he needed to be instead of all over the paper. So
I'm sure, you know, when you have the opportunity to be able to just have everything there, the lights, the adjustable targets, and all that kind of stuff, it makes it where you can focus more on the shooting itself. Because you got a lot of ranges, outdoor ranges specifically, you got to wait till everybody stops firing, go down, change your targets, and all this kind of stuff. So in the atmosphere that you're there, you get to do everything in that cubicle and not have to worry about pretty much anybody else.
It makes a huge difference. It's a lot different than, you know, setting up empty soda cans and milk jugs full of water.
Well, now that's fun too.
Well, yeah, that's fun, but it's you don't focus. You don't get to focus completely on the shooting. There's a lot of focusing on setting up your targets and, you know, counting off your steps so you know how far you are. And that
now I want to be fair though. Going out there plinking like you're talking about, it's a fun day. You're out there. You got your barbecue going. You got your soda pop. The whole works. And you're just taking the time to be with each other, and you're setting up your targets, going back and forth. You talk and you stand there, look, and chatter, all this kind of stuff. But in a business like I've got, you still get the enjoyment of doing all that because you're there for only a short period of time and everything's consolidated. You get to compact what you just did on the open field, but it's a lot of fun on the open.
And you get to focus more on the shooting, the technique.
Yeah.
And the added benefit, of course, places like your store, your range there, is you get the added benefit of other people's experience.
Yes, absolutely.
And then they're always willing to help. If you had a question or an issue or something like that, they're always willing to help, which is really, that's pretty significant.
Now, look, I'm not bad at shooting. I can shoot pretty decent. But when somebody comes in, I'm always watching and I'm always observing, because you just said something. You're always learning. I'm always looking, didn't think about it that way. How can I apply it to what I do? So, yes, you come there, you're going to see a whole bunch of different people. Depending on your level, novice or whatever, you can come in there and look at some people and you can advance your shooting techniques greatly just by watching. Had a new shooter come in there last night during the competition, and he watched the first string and learned a whole bunch of techniques and applied it, and he did very well for his very first time. But I'll tell you what, that's just one person's experience with his son going to the range. We'd love to have you there. We're open Friday nights from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Why only one night? It's because I'm a training facility now, primarily, and we do it by appointments and setting up for license to carry classes, the whole works. And so it's not open to the public except for Friday night, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. So put that on your calendar, mark it down, so this way you can be there. And don't forget the dates. You got the first Friday of the month. That's 2-for-1. Bring somebody. They get to shoot for free. And the second one is the round robin. Third Friday of the month is ladies' night. Fourth Friday of the month, it's whatever you want. Okay, we'll figure out something. But, Trey, let's take a break. And we'll take a short break. I'll come back on with a couple announcements again. And then we're going to have the incredible Master Cindy Key doing something physically abusive to me, most likely. See you on the other side.
Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Z
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775. Everybody, the Aaron's High Cabin Adventure Radio Program. We're winding down with about 6 minutes left to go. I wanted to read something real quick before we got the awesome Master Cindy Key on here. Saw this in the co-op, and it's headlined, Carrying Through. When Hunter Beaton's parents adopted three foster children, he was proud to gain three younger siblings, but troubled by what they brought with them from the foster home. They had all their possessions in a black trash bag, Beaton said. How awful is that? So when it came to plan a community service project to become an Eagle Scout, the born high school freshman knew what he wanted to do. He didn't know how big it would become. I decided to find a way to say, no kid deserves this, he said. With the help of his church, community, and parents, who are members of the Bandera Electric Cooperative, Beaton raised $10,000 and filled 100 duffel bags to give to Texas foster kids. He reached his goal, but requests for bags didn't stop. Almost 20,000 bags, and 2 years later, Beaton's Day One Bag initiative has spread all across Texas with the help of the state Senate proclamation and beyond. He has teamed up with nonprofits, One Simple Wish, and Comfort Cases to keep the bags going even as he gears up for college, where he hopes to get more involved in public service. I just want to help people, he said. That touched me because each and every one of us can grow where we're planted. Find something that's in your heart to do, and then just do it. All right? Do it. Now, let's get on Master Cindy Key here. Miss Key, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Let me clear the deck here so you can beat me up. Why don't you tell me what we're going to be talking about today?
Well, today I want to talk about, I mean, a lot of people would hit you first, but there's some people that would throw a kick first, and it's really nice that he's a lot taller than me because my legs are a lot shorter than his, so my distance to contact on him has to be closer, but he can be further away, so I have to keep that in mind if I'm going to do an attack, which I wouldn't do one unless he's trying to do something to me. But if he tries to kick me, he can be a lot further away. See, I can't really even do any. I can maybe kick him in the knee from here. So I have to either close the distance or I have to make distance to make him miss. And there's different ways to block depending on which kick he's going to do. If he comes in with a front kick, I've got him where he has can scream no cut.
Yeah, I'm here. Screaming no cut big time here. She's got my leg holding her left arm. She's beating the crap out of me with her right. And I may be doing soprano in a minute. All right, so that was basically what, a front kick here?
This is from a front kick, and I'm just going to come to the inside because I don't have a place to go there. So I would like to go to the outside, but
you're going to like this video.
Sometimes you can't.
Easy now. That would hurt, man.
I have a groin strike. I have a knee strike. If he tries to do anything at all, I'm just going to start lifting and. I'm gonna take out his other knee.
Yeah, I could lose my balance really easy. What about if I'm coming? Let's see. What's another one, Ms. Key?
A roundhouse kick. A roundhouse kick, same thing. It's just basically the same thing. I'd come in, I'd sweep your leg. A side kick. I really do want to. Well, here he's. I'm gonna the way he turned. I'm gonna stomp on his other knee, but I want to get to the back of him because I don't want this arm to come around and. In contact.
Plus, I got my gun on that side, too. If mm-hmm. I was desperate, I'd be doing something with it.
Right.
Okay. So that was side kick. What about a back kick?
A back kick is basically the same as a side kick. I just want to get you off balance, or I want to let you throw it, and then I'll come in here.
Explain it. That was good. I like that.
Okay. I backed up to get his distance. When he's stretched out, I just push down. I have a choice. Boom, I can stomp him here, or I can close and come in here. And all I'm doing is I'm controlling his hip right here.
What's neat about that one that I noticed is you're not prepared. you're not prepared to go in a downward motion. You're like, you're kicking upward, and when you, she thrusted me down, wasn't expecting it, and I didn't resist it enough. So that was pretty good. All right, we got about room for one more. What else you got?
Let's say,
how about some knees kicks?
All right.
That's knee on knee. She won.
I'm just going to block. I'm going to hit him on the inside of the knee. That's my first reaction is a turn, and I'm going to we're going to either go shin to shin or knee to knee.
Now look, ladies and gentlemen, this is great stuff. She's got courses for all sorts of things. Ms. Key, why don't you tell everybody what you got, how to get a hold of you, and what you can set up for people?
Well, I still have my summer special going. It's $99 for 2 months, which is a pretty good deal. I always offer free classes because I do not want a student there that doesn't want to be there. I want somebody that wants to learn. Kids that like have a little attitude problem, I mean, they usually straighten out, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about somebody that just comes in, they decide they hate it, and they don't want to come anymore. I don't want people.
Well, tell them how they get a hold of you, because we're almost off the air.
All right. So 254-721-2775. Have a safe, blessed day.
Awesome. Keep powder dry, and God bless.
Directly concerning President Trump and his visit there. In London today, protesters rallied to call for the release of jailed right-wing leader Tommy Robinson. As CBS's Vicki Barker reports, that rally had a bit of a pro-Donald Trump flavor to it.
I've spoken to a number of the marchers here, and they all say the same thing. They really admire Donald Trump as a man who keeps his campaign promises and who talks tough on issues like immigration, who is not, as one put it, politically correct.
The president is spending the weekend at his Turnberry Golf Club in Scotland, where protesters like